Good morning. I'd like to welcome those watching remotely with us. We have 58 devices tuning in right now, so glad that you're with us, and we have a good number here. Today is small group refresh, and so we're going to talk about getting refreshed today. But first, our family devotional, our memory verse for the month. I know you've been working on this. We're pretty good. We have a little bit to go. Psalm 5:8, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. All right. Small group refresh. When I was young, I remember periodically Mom wanted the living room furniture different. She wanted it rearranged, and she couldn't do it on her own. It's not like we'd just walk in, you know, one day and it'd be done. This was all hands on deck, moving things around. Sometimes we would, she didn't know exactly how she wanted it. And so, let's move this here, let's move that there, all right, let's see. That's not it. Let's do it some more. But we would do that, and it was amazing how nice it is when it's different. And then a little bit later, maybe 6 months later, let's do it again. 6 months later, do it again. It even amazed me. Sometimes it was nice, and a year ago that's how it was, but somehow just a refreshment. Sometimes we just get in a rut. And with the pandemic, I think the pandemic fostered our being in a rut. It's part of human nature, just sometimes we settle into a slow groove, and we have a hard time getting out of that. But this is something we want to do with our small groups. Even our small groups can kind of wind down and lack energy and enthusiasm, and so we want to breathe some life into them. If you're in a small group, I want to encourage you today to be even more committed to your small group. You may be in one, but that doesn't mean that you're always active in your small group as much as you could be. So I want to encourage you to be more committed in your small group. If you are in a small group and you'd like to try a different group, and you've been trying to figure out how to tell your group, it's not you, it's me, and can we still be friends, this day is for you. That's okay. Today is a day you want to try a different group. That's fine, and there's going to be no hard feelings because we're a family, and all our small groups are we're after the same thing, and a different group may bless someone, and if that's the case, that's what we want. And so today's the day you may do that. If you're not in a small group, we would encourage you to try one. Try one today. If you want to try two or three or four, do it. In fact, we do that sometimes. It's a little awkward when a new person comes to your group and you want to roll out the red carpet for them. We're so glad you're here. And if you want to try another group, you can do that. But we'd love to have you here. But if you want to try another group, that's fine. But we'd want you to stay in this group too. Anyway, that can sound like a mixed message. But the bottom line, we want people where they need to be to bless you, to grow. I want to start in Acts 2:42. In Acts 2:42, and this is really the beginning of the church in Jerusalem, and talking about what it was like being a Christian when the church first started, here's what it was like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And that makes sense to us. I think it should. You know, the apostles' teaching, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's the Word of God. We must be devoted to this. The breaking of bread, that's communion. We must be devoted to communion. What a wonderful time to just stop and reflect on the most important thing there is, and that is Jesus dying for us. And prayer, absolutely we believe in prayer. We have to have God helping us so many ways, and we do that through prayer. But this word fellowship, that's the connectedness. It's partnership. They were devoted to that. Sometimes we are devoted to our hobbies, and we treat as a hobby our religion. What are you devoted to? I want to encourage you to be devoted to God more, and small groups will help you with that. They'll help you be more devoted to God. flip to 1 Thessalonians 5, and starting in verse 8, I want us to look at this. It's a great passage here about what it's like living as a Christian, the things we're supposed to be, pursuing and living in and thriving in. And that's our theme this year, is to be thriving in the kingdom of God, our church family. And so this is a great passage that hits on a few things that are part of our Christian walk. So verse 8 says, since we belong to the day, that means we're trying to walk a different walk than the world is. The world belongs to the prince of this world, and that's Satan, but they don't know it. They think they're living their life. You do you is a phrase that sometimes can be a really bad advice. Because when we choose us, that's how Satan lies to us. He gets us to sin, but he convinces us it's really our idea. But as Christians, we're to be living different. We belong to the day, so what do? Let us be sober. Let us be sober. Sometimes legislation comes about, and it's about, some substance. And without getting into that too much, let me just say our world needs more sobriety, not less sobriety. We need more. Sobriety is, and this here would speak absolutely to addiction, which we want to stay far from. And addiction, we need to have sympathy for a brother or sister who is wrestling with addiction. It's a great, great challenge. It's isolating. It's all-encompassing. And we need to care about that. But this word, be sober, also speaks to a seriousness. We belong to the day. We're on a mission. We have an attitude of seriousness that our world doesn't have. Our world just kind of bounces around with different ideas and things they chase, and they're living footloose and fancy free, and we have a seriousness about what we're doing. We're trying to walk with God. Having put on the breastplate of faith. Let me read through this, and I'll come back and talk about this a little. The breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Breastplate of faith. Do you ever doubt? Do you ever struggle in your faith? Maybe you struggle, not sure, is God even there? Is there even a God? Maybe it's not that. Maybe you're convinced that there is a God, but am I in his favor? Is God helping me, or has he turned away from me because of my shortcomings and sin? How does God feel about me? How is God working in my life? Faith. And do we struggle with doubt sometimes? Or love. Do you ever struggle being loving to others? I'm not going to have you pointing fingers. I'm not going to have anyone raise your neighbor's hand if you struggle with love or being loving. Sometimes in small group, someone will say, kind of had a rough week, had this situation. I handled it this way. That probably wasn't the best way. I probably wasn't real loving about this, but here's what I did. And they just lay it out factually. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Isn't that good? To have a place where you could come and say, I didn't do it right. I wasn't loving when I should have been loving, and I struggle, and I need your prayers. Do you ever struggle with hope? You ever feel unworthy of God's love? Go ahead and nod your head. I think every one of us does. Unworthy of God's love. You ever take communion and you think, how can this reach all the way to me? Because I'm not worthy of that. Or worthy of a future in heaven. And ironically, none of us are worthy of that. That's why Jesus paid that price. We couldn't do it. That's why Jesus did it. Hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain a salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. So whether we are awake or asleep — asleep would be dead. It's talking about it, those who are asleep would be those who've already passed on. But we're awake. We're not asleep. So we're awake, and we are to live with him. verse 11. Therefore. So here's what we're supposed to be doing, and it's not always easy. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes we really struggle. But here's what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be living, how we want to live with Jesus. Therefore, encourage one another. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Why? Because it's hard. It's hard. We get battered and bruised by Satan and sin, and we need encouragement. And that's why I love small groups. This congregation made a decision about 2001 on Sunday nights to no longer meet in a typical Sunday night service, worship service, but to separate into smaller groups and have meetings that would meet a different kind of need. And we've been doing it ever since. And so some advantages to small groups, some benefits. One is it's a smaller setting. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. In a smaller setting, there's a place for us to sharpen each other, to encourage each other, to remind each other maybe of Scripture, to teach each other, to build each other up. So we sharpen each other, and it's a unique place to do that. If you've ever been here, and maybe this happened to you today. You saw someone, you greeted someone today, they said, how are you doing? You said, I'm doing good. And you're not really doing good. How was your week? That was a good week. But that's not the whole story. Because if you have something heavy on your heart or something you're wrestling with, it doesn't seem the time or place, maybe passing someone in the foyer, say, hey, you know, good to see, I'm glad you're here. How are you doing today? It just doesn't seem like the time and place to stop and unpack something. But I've seen countless times in small group, highs and lows, what's your low for the week? Well, actually, and they'll unpack something. They'll unload something. You wouldn't do it here because it's just not, for whatever reason. Sometimes it does happen here, and that's fine. I don't want you to ever, I've seen people do it here in the foyer. Next thing you know, they're hugging. Next thing you know, they're praying together. Wonderful. But many of us, we just can't do that in a place when we're going to see so many. But in a small group, we can. It's a beautiful thing. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. We need together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need that. I've seen addiction confessed in group. I've seen deep heartache shared in group. Our scripture reading this morning, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another. That's hard to do. But in a group setting, it's not that hard to say, you know, I've been wrestling with this. I've been struggling with this. I lost my cool this week. I haven't been having the faith that I really want to have. Whatever it is, confess your sins. Pray for one another. That's why our togetherness and the one great benefit of small group is being able to pray for each other. The group I'm currently in, I love. Really, one of our strengths is prayer. And we talk in group, and then at the end we make a prayer list, and usually that list is three-fourths done because of what we've already talked about. The prayer leader already knows what to pray for because we've already talked about it. Pray for one another. We need prayer. I have and this scripture reminds us prayer is powerful. It's effective. The prayer of a righteous person. If you read on verse 17, scripture says Elijah was a man just like us. You might think, well, I'm not righteous like Elijah. You're a child of God, and in Christ we have righteousness, and when we cry out to God, He cares. I have an aunt who's a faithful Christian today, and she would say largely in part because her brother R.W. Spencer in his small group, and those small group members are here, and that small group knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say I wasn't there, but R.W. would ask his group to pray every week for her. She's not with God. She's pulled away from God. She's not faithful with church. She's not walking with God. They prayed for her. They prayed for her. They prayed for her. They prayed for her. And she would say that's why she's back with God now, because people didn't give up on her. And so finding a place where you can confess your sins, you might think, well, maybe I don't know, that preacher, if that's what's going on, I think I might just stay home. And I would tell you, it's not day one. We don't force anyone. This isn't coercion. It's not, all right, everybody go around and name the worst sin you committed this week. This is a place where, give it time, it will become a place where you can share more of your life and get more support. 2 Corinthians 6:14 reminds us, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? The word fellowship, inherent in that word, is partnership. When we commune together, when we do this together, communion, that's an aspect of fellowship. It's together, partnership. Many of us have family members that they're not in Christ. I can't have fellowship with them in Christ. They're not walking with Christ. You have coworkers. You can't. What fellowship can you have with coworkers that are not trying to obey God, or neighbors, or friends? So we have all these relationships, and we enjoy them. They're good. But we can't fellowship with them like we can a brother or sister in Christ who's in the trenches trying to walk in the light where God is. That's unique and special partnership. And we don't have that with darkness. We have that with those who are walking in the light. And that's what small groups provide. They provide spiritual strength. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I've seen numerous times people share a struggle, and the group, initially, the first thing that I see happen is the group cares. Actually, the first thing is they listen. Someone says, well, here's what's going on in my week. And they listen. Secondly, they care. They extend some compassion, some empathy. And then thirdly, they may have suggestions, have you thought about this? Things that the person in the struggle might be blind to. They help bear that burden. We pray for each other. Sometimes it's physically. We'll come over and help you do this, whatever the need is. I'll go with you. Maybe it's a surgery. I'll be there. Whatever it is, supporting each other. We need that. We need bearing each other's burdens. I want to run through and kind of highlight each of our groups. Now, as I do it, I want to try to keep us from being confused today about one thing in particular. So I'm going to run through what's in our small group handout. So these are available on the table where the communion is and at the Welcome Center. This gives you the most information you can take away today about our small groups. However, in your bulletin, you'll notice on the inside of your bulletin, it says today's small group information. This is what the group is doing today. It might be today only, but this is the house that they might be meeting at. This is the place that they might be meeting at. And so this is today's information. If you want to go to a group tonight and you just want to show up, you don't want to mess with having to find the small group leader's number and talk to them and call them and say, hey, you don't want to ask any questions, you just want to go. Bulletin, okay? So, but our small groups, I want to run through and just kind of highlight each one and tell you a thing or two about them. This is what I would call our hardest working group because they have young children. And that's work. When you try to do small group with young children, that's a little extra work. And I remember those days. It's a little challenging sometimes, but it's so worthwhile because you can imagine being at that stage in life and you're in a group with others that are also at that stage in life. It's important. It's helpful. And so this is one of our groups that I would encourage you to check out if you have young children in particular. And then this would be what I would call our flagship group. It is probably our most healthy and strong group for the past few years, really. This group, the Fab Four. And so they meet in the activity building. They meet at 5 o'clock. If you are a parent of a teen, this group would be particularly handy for you because they meet the same time our teenagers meet, and they meet also across the street. So this group meets in the activity building, and our teens in the teen building. And so could be very handy for that reason. Homeward Bound, this group is our largest group right now. They recently combined. It's recently a combination of two groups that their numbers had kind of had dwindled and were struggling a little bit. So they've combined. If you've ever thought, you know what, I want to come to worship, I want to leave and go eat, I'd like to come back and do group and then be done for the day, this might be your group, because they meet at 1:30, and they typically meet across the street, and so today in the fellowship room. But this is a great group to check out. And then if you'd like to get with a group that is brand new, you're thinking, I don't want to go into, you know, a place, and they've been with each other for a while, and I'm the new and outsider, and I'd like to get on the ground floor with a group. This is Darren Harris's group, and it is starting today, 5 o'clock. And so this would be a great one to check out. Love of God's Word, this group is one, if you've thought, you know, I just like to get into some deep study in Scripture, this group utilizes a lot of knowledge and wisdom of Lendell Bolin, and they get into some deep concepts. And so they meet at 3 o'clock in the afternoons here at the building. And then we also have a group, if you thought, you know, I'd like to just come and I miss the traditional service. And we have a number of people that do. And so we meet in the fellowship room on Sunday evenings, 5 o'clock, and we sing and we pray and we have a short sermon and have fellowship. And so that's our 5 o'clock group. You may want to check that out. This group is called, my group is called Better Together. We almost named this group. We laugh at those with toddlers. We are mostly empty nesters. And so if that describes you, this might be the place for you. But this is my group, and you are certainly welcome. We want more coming to our small group, just like all the others. And so would welcome you to my group. We'll meet at my house tonight. And then our teens, 6th through 12th grade, our youth group, Richard and Melissa Prater lead this group, and Rick O'Dell. And they do a number of fun things on Sunday nights. They'll play games and have a good time. They'll have a devotional, snacks. They oftentimes meet in the teen building. Sometimes they'll meet in church members' homes. And sometimes they'll have an outing and go somewhere. But that is all 8 of our groups. If you're looking for one tonight and want to know exactly what they're doing tonight, refresher course, in case you weren't paying attention earlier, in the bulletin. That's where you're going to find that. I want to share, I was talking to my dad, Everett, recently, and just recently did I come to learn this, but Mom and Dad moved here about 8 years ago, and so Dad's been a part of this congregation for the past 8 years, but when they moved here, Dad said, had not been at a church that had small groups, and so his thought about small groups was kind of negative. He supposed that maybe people like small group because they just don't want to sit through a second sermon. Maybe that's what it is about why people like small groups. And so didn't really have a high opinion of them until he started participating with one. And then it changed. He said he could see how, you know, you could be a member of a church for 20 or 30 years and never really develop closeness just coming to worship. But in a small group setting, you develop closeness quickly. And he could see the benefit of that. He could see how they are really support groups and people listen to each other's struggles. Some might talk about a struggle and someone else in the group, all of a sudden, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. And without that group time, you feel alone. You feel isolated. And so group helps a lot with that. And so, in you know, basically, Dad didn't really have much of a favorable opinion about small groups until he got involved in one. Now he's a big believer, big fan, sees the benefit. He's really come full, completely from one side to another as far as opinion about our groups. And so I want to encourage you, coming out of our pandemic, if you've eased off your walk with God, if you've slacked off some, and I know looking back, I can see in my life how it's been easy to slack off some. We want to encourage you to invest in your spiritual walk. Invest. You won't regret it. And so our song for today is Light the Fire. We're trying to have God light a fire under us again. You may have something on your heart this morning that you've been, the whole time I'm talking, you're thinking, yeah, I've got a struggle. And you may want us right now, during this song, you let me know, and we will pray for you right now about a struggle that you have. There may be one this morning that you're not ready to meet God. You're not a Christian. You're not in God's graces. You're outside of Christ, but you want to be inside. Let us help you with that. If there's a need you have, please come while we stand and sing.
I stand to praise you, but I fall on my knee. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. Like fire in my soul, and so make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been. So like fire in my heart again. I feel your arms around me as the power of your healing begins. You bring life right through me like a mighty rushing wind. Like fire in my soul, and burning, make me whole.
Like fire.